Nearly 1.8 billion people use Facebook every month. It's become a go-to news source, and that's had a big impact. In fact, some suggest that social media companies, including Facebook, impacted the presidential election by encouraging fake news and polarizing political views. Mark Glazer pays attention to those kind of things. He's the founder and executive director of Media Shift, which examines how media changes in response to a changing world. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Glazer and asked what it means for Facebook to be the news curator for hundreds of millions of people.
This has been talked about a lot now, but Facebook, you know, is just sees itself as a platform. It is just a pipe for information, you know, this neutral zone. Like, you don't ask your cable box to make editorial decisions. But the difference is that Facebook is curating. It is deciding there is an algorithm that is created by humans. You can always say, well, it's the algorithm's fault. But people program that algorithm. So they're deciding what goes into your feed, what gets highlighted. And they went through a whole thing with curators and human editors who, I guess, weren't treated very well. And a lot was talked about them. And then there was this whole, you know, anti-conservative bias among the editors. And Facebook from the start said, we're just using these editors to train our algorithm to do it without editors. And once all this controversy started around the editors, they just let all the editors go and said, okay, it's time to let the algorithm take over and decide what's, you know, it's trained just perfectly well. Well, it wasn't. And a lot of these kind of fake news and things that were just not right ended up trending on the trending topics on Facebook, and were shared, you know, millions and millions of times. So,
well, I hadn't realized that what you're saying as far as like letting the algorithm take over and firing editorial staff who's making those kind of decisions. That basically sounds to me actually like some sort of Black Mirror future or present insofar as people taking their hands off of the wheel and letting autopilot go, and then autopilot just makes whatever decisions it does. And in this case, it helped to potentially influence the election. That's what a lot of people think.
Maybe. I mean, I think that autopilot might be a little strong because there are still engineers and people looking at things that are going on Facebook. And I think this is just a snapshot in time. I think if you look back at Google, there was a time where Google was seen as this horrible, blood-sucking vampire of content and, you know, taking all the content and putting it on Google News. And, you know, there was a whole furor around that years ago. Now, if you look at Google, they have a Google News Lab. They're very much working with publishers very much closer. And they were very quick to pull AdSense away, which is the income for a lot of these fake news sites. Facebook isn't there yet. You know, they have media people working for them. But I think that over time, they're going to have to realize that they do have a responsibility. They do have to think much more deeply about what's going on their platform. And the bottom line for them, always the bottom line, is money. The user's experience. If users tend to start looking at Facebook as this kind of cesspool of bad information, they're going to look elsewhere. And even though it seems like with 1.7 billion people, this will be the platform we use forever, history proves otherwise. There's always something newer. There's always something better that could come along and take over for it.
Well, one question that I have about this is I see what's in my feed, right? You see what's in your feed.
Right.
But I wonder then say rural Alabama, if I am in that kind of political climate, what's in my feed there? What does it look like? Does it look like the same kind of echo chamber, but from a different color?
Yeah, well, the Wall Street Journal did a really interesting, I think it's called like the red and blue feeds. And you could actually see what a feed looks like if you're looking at it from like a very liberal point of view, or what a feed looks like in a very conservative point of view. We can literally, and all about politics, of course, and it was just showing like what stories showed up, what kind of opinion showed up, and how, you know, different stories from different outlets showed up. So it was a really interesting way to look into these different filter bubbles. I think there's always been among people an interest in getting outside of those bubbles. And I think now it does seem like it's getting worse. And I think Facebook is, in a way, kind of enforcing that, because the things we like, the things that we interact with, end up being the things we see. The strange thing for me in my Facebook feed is I get almost no news. It's all kind of pictures of people and all very personal. And maybe those are the things that I'm liking and looking at. But strangely enough, even though I follow tons of news outlets, I really only see friends and family and extended colleagues and stuff just posting pictures of their travels and things. And so in a way, it's good. I think that there should be, and I think will be, some, a little bit more control. Like, you know, Twitter now has editors and has Twitter moments, which are curated by their editors.
What is that?
So Twitter moments is, it's a tab in Twitter that basically shows you kind of a curated feed of the top news that's going on. A lot of it's very celebrity driven. Some of it's sponsored, but it is news items. And so if you go into Twitter moments, you're going to see what the editors of Twitter are choosing to show you. So, you know, whether it's really worked or not is questionable, but it's an idea that, hey, editors can show you something you might not have thought about. I think if you can do that, but you can also somewhat tailor it to your needs, there's this whole, to me, there's this whole kind of balance or tension between personalization, giving you exactly what you want, versus kind of this recommendation for things that you might like. And, you know, Amazon does that all the time and Netflix does that all the time. And it's really useful. It's very personalized and it's helping recommend things. How can we build this kind of recommendation engine that will actually suggest things that might be outside of our little bubble? You know, like, personalized things can be good, but maybe personalized plus something different that's going to say, hey, here's a different point of view that might interest you. It might not have been something you thought about before.
I mean, because it's difficult on Facebook. If I'm getting a lot of my news from Facebook, because that's where, you know, people who I know are sharing most interesting articles.
Right.
And I'm not really clicking on certain kinds of articles, then they don't know. Or right. They would have to reach and say, oh, you might actually like this. And I'm like, no, actually, I think that one's awful.
It's a tricky thing. I think it's a hard thing, like I said, to go outside of your bubble. I mean, even though these companies have been around for years, when it comes to the media aspect of what they're doing, it's still a little early. And, you know, we'll see what comes out of it. You know, it's kind of this post-truth moment. And what can you do about that? That's a really hard one. And I think that some of it is also media literacy. And, you know, this there was a study done about with students to see whether they could, you know, decide whether something was a fake news or real news, and they didn't do a very good job. And I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to this kind of digital media literacy, where people have to, you know, don't believe everything you see on Facebook or online or whatever. I mean, this is something that's gone on forever, but I think we could do a much better job starting in schools, you know, and starting at least in high schools, to try to teach, you know, students, like, hey, what you see on these different places, you know, isn't always real. Look into it, dig a little bit deeper to find out, you know, what is the source, and be a little bit more skeptical about what you see.
It would make sense at this point in the information age in 2016 that probably should be a required course for people to take, because they're bombarded by information all the time. And if you don't know how to decipher that, well, that's a huge failure, and societal failure.
It is. And so, I mean, I've been pushing for that for so long, and there's a lot of other groups that are doing the same. But I think that's one of the issues, is really this kind of digital media literacy that means what you see online, what you see on Facebook, what you see wherever, you can be a little more skeptical and dig a little bit deeper into figuring out what you trust and not.